morning. And may the Lord continue to bless you as we worship, as we now look to God's Word. So I'm going to invite you to open in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs for our scripture reading this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, reading verses 20 to 27. It's on the screen behind me, but please follow along also in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. Let us hear the word of the Lord. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's take this moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to gather like this as a community of believers, seeking you, seeking to know you more. And God, we just now look to you. We just pray that you would open our hearts. Lord, open our ears. Lord, help us to come before you, Lord, in humility. Lord, you are great. There is no one like you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this time already of worship today, God, where we have been able to declare with our voices, with our thoughts, God, that truly, God, there is no one like you, God, that you are great in all your ways. You are perfect in all your ways. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. We need you. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would just help us to understand the spiritual truths of your word, that we might know them, understand them, and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about your heart, especially after the week that we've had with Valentine's Day past, a week of red and pink and hearts everywhere. Cookies. Anybody have a cookie shaped in a heart this week at all? Or received a Valentine? Yeah, some people did. That's great. I was wondering if they have like heart-shaped donuts yet at Tim Hortons. I'm not sure. I didn't get in there to check this week. But, you know, it's been a week of certainly tending to our hearts. Perhaps your heart was filled with love by your loved ones on Valentine's Day. But this morning, I want to talk to us about our heart. And when we think of our heart, we think about the physical organ, of course, that pumps blood throughout our body. But when the Bible speaks of the heart, rarely does it refer to the physical organ, that physical part of our body that we need for life. Your Bible actually mentions the word heart 926 times. So do you think it's important? It is important. What God has to say about your heart, about how important your heart is to His, is really important today. It's not easy to think about our heart. It's not easy to think about the condition of our heart because life just takes us this way and that way and we're distracted so easily. But today, even right now, I really challenge you to look to your heart, to think about your heart. The Holy Spirit knows everything that's going on in your heart right now. So will you be open to being challenged and changed in your heart today by the power of God, by His presence here? And I know some of you already are. So praise God and bless and pray. And even as we look to God's word, pray for those around you that the Lord will bless and heal wounded hearts today. It is obvious from this amount of references to the heart in the Bible that it's a very important subject in the Bible. The term heart, as it is used in the scriptures, typically speak about our inner being. So where our thoughts come from, where our emotions come from, our affections, what we love. While God cares about our whole being, He's especially concerned about the condition of our heart. Now, as you heard earlier, the passage read, and as we will be looking to the words of Solomon, you will have noticed that he used the word wellspring. Wellspring. Just go back to that well for a second there. The well is an important part of any village. A water well is an important part of any community because it is an important resource that we cannot live without. Agreed? You all need clean water to drink, to live on. Water is drawn from a well for drinking, for cooking, and even in some villages for medicinal purposes. And what happens then if this well water becomes contaminated? Okay, what happens if this water now is poisoned? The well becomes then useless. It becomes useless. And who is going to drink that water or cook with that water for that matter? Nobody. Life can't thrive now because this water source is corrupted. It's no good for anything. And so Solomon, in all of his godly wisdom, tells us that, as you see in the next slide, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I love that picture. The wellspring of life is your heart, is our heart, our inner being. And the condition of your heart means everything to God. And so this morning I'm here to tell you that the condition of your heart means everything to God, but does it mean everything to you? Does it mean everything to you? The heart is the center of our being. And just as we need a healthy heart to live, we need a spiritually healthy heart in order to follow Jesus in obedience, to live in a life of trust and faith after the Lord. I love that worship song that says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about you. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. And already this morning, from our opening hymn to our ministry of music to our time in prayer, that is the focus of worship, that our thoughts are directed toward the living God whose presence is here today, who longs to change your heart and your life so that you can live to be more like Christ. He has come to save you. Hallelujah. And we see that in the death and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Is Jesus in your heart today? Why is your spiritual heart so important? Why? Because what is going on in your heart affects everything around you. It affects everything around you in your life today. It is affecting the world around you. It is the source of everything else in your life. So what goes on in your heart affects your relationships. What's going on in your heart right now is affecting your marriage. What goes on in your heart right now is affecting your finances, your career, your ministry, everything about your life. The condition of your heart affects also your thoughts, your habits, your worship even. And perhaps today you're here in worship and this is the last place you want to be. But God has you here today for a reason, because he wants to speak to your heart. He wants you to think about the condition of your heart. What are you drawing out? What are you drawing out of that well this morning? Okay, you need to think about that. Above all else, Solomon says, guard your heart. There are so many things that try to come against our hearts. And guarding our hearts means being wise. Guarding our hearts means being discerning and aware of, first of all, what have we put into our hearts and what are we hiding in our hearts? And I hope it is the word of God this morning. We have to overcome temptation every day. And that's one area that we need to guard our hearts from. All throughout the Bible, we have scriptures that teach us about the importance of our heart and the spiritual condition of our hearts. Let me just read to you just a few of them. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Not just some of it, a part of it, but with all your heart. Jesus referred to the heart frequently in his ministry. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart comes our words and our actions. This week, did you ever wonder to yourself, why did that person just say that? why did that person just use those words or act that way? Well, because that is what's in that person's heart. Okay, so instead of maybe in response or in reaction, using words just like that in return, how about you just think about perhaps something's not right in their heart. Pray for their heart today. Pray for that person's heart even right now as we are thinking about how important our hearts are. when we come to God in worship. Your heart is the center of your being. Above all else, guard it. It truly is heart check today at the Baptist Church, isn't it? In Acts chapter 4, verse 30, Luke says, all the believers that gathered together were one in heart. Now, we do not need to all look the same outwardly, but we need to be one in heart. We need to be one in heart if we are to move forward together for God's plan for this church. We need to be one in heart. We need to be one in faith. We need to be one in compassion. We need to be one in forgiveness. Do you agree? We need to be one in purpose. All the believers in Acts chapter 4 were one in heart. Paul says in Colossians 3 verse 1, set your heart on things where? Above. Not on earthly things. Not on earthly things. There are a lot of great earthly things that God has given to us and blessed us with, but above all else, right? Above the earthly things, set your hearts on things. That's the Lord. That's his eternal word. We're going to talk about that later. That's heaven, things of heaven. I love that. When my kids can't sleep at night, I say, just think about heaven. As you're lying there, just think about heaven, the place of our hope. And I hope and pray today that you know that it is the place of your hope today. What's going on around you today? What's going on in your heart? And what's going on right now in your life is a symptom of what is going on in your heart. Perhaps you need a job change. Maybe you need a change of heart. Maybe you need some relationships to change. Maybe you need a change of heart. Maybe you need your finances to change. Maybe you need a change of heart. You see where I'm going with this? Is Jesus in your heart, first and foremost? Is Jesus in your relationships? Is Jesus in your work? To experience the fullness of our faith and the blessings of God, we must recognize the treasure of the heart. And above all else, guard it. Guard it. Keep it. Nurture it. Protect it. The text identifies guarding your heart as more important than anything else. That's what Solomon says. Above all else, top priority, protect your heart. And it's not an option. This isn't a statement or some words that are given to us as something to maybe think about later. It's a command from God directly. Our action is to begin immediately. It's never too late to keep and guard your heart. But let me tell you, guarding your heart is a challenging duty, isn't it? It is difficult. I want you to think of a time when you took your kids or perhaps your grandkids to a crowded public place, like a beach or the fair or the mall. Did you just, like when they're kids, did you just let them loose? When they're 3 or 4, did you just let them run free? Absolutely not. You did not let them loose to do as they pleased. No, you probably watched them like a hawk. Yeah, that's stressful, right? And oh my goodness, the feeling when all of a sudden you turn around and your kid's not there. And you're in a big store and you're like panicking. And you ask the teller to just help. And then you're asking parents to please help you find a kid. I'm not speaking of experience. Of course not. But I do know that stress, that challenge of keeping watch over your kid, your young kid, when you're in a public place like that. You never let them out of your sight, do you? You never do. Not for one solitary minute. And perhaps you constantly held onto their hand or tethered them to you with a rope, depending on the age. Chances are your eyes, again, were constantly scanning back and forth across the crowd to make sure they were safe, that they were close by. Guarding your heart is a challenging duty. In armed warfare, the vital part of the body is always protected. In our Christian realm, and that is the same. It's always the heart. To guard it at all costs. The reason why we have so many spiritual casualties is because the heart is not protected. The heart is ignored. The heart is neglected. How do I guard my heart? Because that's the next thought or next challenge that we have with this passage. How should I apply this to my life? Well, the answer is given to us in our text. Before verse 23 even, King Solomon, like a father talking to his son, has already said many important verses to help us gain context and the meaning of guarding your heart. And here we can see that before verse 23, the instruction to us is not just to guard our hearts, but to guard the godly instructions within our hearts. Let me read verse 1. Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. If you look at verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Or even verse 13, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. And even in verses 20 to 22, at the beginning of our passage, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. So the number one way we are to guard our hearts is to keep God's word in our heart. Store it up. Never stop storing up God's word in your heart. Only when our hearts are full of God's word and his truth will life flow from our hearts, as Solomon says. So a good strategy for guarding your heart is to energize it with truth, to store it up with truth. Note the instruction that I read earlier. It talks about paying attention. Listen closely to the instruction your father has given to you, that God has given to you. And the emphasis here is to give careful attention to divine truth, and it's followed by the promise of life and health. Therefore, to guard our hearts according to the Bible, we must guard the truths and biblical instruction God has placed within our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and then keep informing our hearts. Keep informing your heart with the truth of God's word. And that comes by studying the word of God, reading the word of God, coming under the sounding of the gospel and Bible teaching. And this is what's going to help us keep the truth close to us and not swerve from it. Solomon said again, do not let his instruction out of your sight. I love those words. Just think about that phrase for a moment, out of sight. You could apply to what I said earlier about keeping an eye on your kids in a public place. But also, just think about that for your life when it comes to so many other things. When something becomes out of sight, it can become out of mind. You forget about it. You lose it. Out of heart. When you let God's word become out of sight, your heart will try and find something to replace it. And the world has lots. The devil has a whole buffet of things that he wants to replace God's word in your heart with. Guard your heart. Whatever you allow to replace it, it will start to change you. Your values will change. Your moral compass changes. Your convictions change. Your behaviors change. And once you let the world in, it will begin to change you. How you spend your time, where you spend your time, where once you thought something was sin, you begin to tolerate it. Where once you relied on God's wisdom for God's word for wisdom or God's word for counsel, as soon as you begin to drift away from even pursuing questions like, what does God's word say about marriage? What does God's word say about language that I use? Habits that I form. When you get away from that, the world will just step right in and just begin to help you just agree that it's okay. Where once you relied on God's word, you now rely upon your own judgment, your feelings, what culture values. And of course, that is only anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-God's word. So don't rely upon social media, your friends, the world to inform your judgments. Rely upon God's word. Guard what comes into your heart. If you are guarding your heart, you do not let the thief in. My goodness, we could go on about what we need God's word to shape our thoughts about. Life. The sacredness of life. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't let the media, don't let politics, don't let social media be the source of your education. Learn to listen with filters and discernment. Inform your heart with the truth of God's word. This is how we guard our hearts. And ask the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you in the truth. When the Bible talks about guarding your heart in this verse, Proverbs 4:23, we can see that the verses that now follow it make it clear that we are to guard our hearts from falling into sin. The growth of your Christian life, the growth of our hearts depends upon the following principles that God gives us next in verses 24 to 27. Join me there. In verse 24, Solomon goes on to say, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. And why does Solomon say this? You know, this principle is very clear. Keep your mouth right. Keep your mouth right. And why does Solomon mention this? Because there is a connection between our tongue and our hearts. So what we say reveals a lot about the condition of our hearts. The word perverse speech here means uncontrollable, corrupt talk. Words that we say, foul language, cursing. That's what Solomon is getting on here to about. Our words reveal a lot about who we are and what is going on in our hearts. And so Solomon is saying, beware, do not have any part of this type of language. And because the way that Christians talk, as Solomon is talking to his son, he's saying to stay on the path right with God, you need to watch what you say, because there should be a difference in how Christians talk and how non-Christians talk. Let us use words that build one another up and bring glory to God. Let us use our words to encourage. We need to use our words to edify and to correct and to challenge, but to do it in love and do it in gentleness. And if you are having trouble in this area, ask God to help you with your heart. Okay, so if you look at your vocabulary this past week, and maybe there's some words that you wish you hadn't said, and perhaps you're struggling with your speech, just begin by praying, God, just do a work in my heart, because that's where it begins. Okay, because once your heart is changed, then your words will begin to change as well. But in verse 25, he keeps going. He doesn't just say keep your mouth right, he says keep your eyes right. Why does Solomon say this? Why does Solomon say in verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you? Because there's also a connection between our eyes and our hearts. And what your eyes see will affect your heart, so keep your eyes straight ahead. In 1 John 2, verse 16, a great bit of temptation you face is brought about through your eyes when John says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we are to control our sight. What we look at, what we watch, what we let in through our eyes. Love that song growing up as a kid. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For your Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We could apply that to our ears as well, what we hear, our mouth and how we speak. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Will you do that today? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you're having trouble with your eyes, what you see, ask God to change your heart. Satan's strategy in the Garden of Eden was to persuade Eve to do what? To look. Look at that beautiful piece of fruit. And he succeeded in getting her to fix her gaze on that forbidden fruit. And it became desirable to her because she looked at it. The longer she looked, the more her desire grew. And the longer she looked, the more difficult it was for her eyes to tear away from it. Genesis 3, verse 6. Watch what you say. Watch where your eyes go. And thirdly, in verse 26 to 27, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. This third principle, keep your feet right. Okay, so keep your mouth, keep your eyes now, keep your feet right. Because wherever your feet will take you, it's going to cause a heart response. And so don't just turn your feet loose to go anywhere that you want to go. It's important to think through decisions. It's important to think through and pray for God's wisdom. It's good to think about and ponder where you are headed, what you are doing with your life, the pathway that lies ahead, where each step will lead and what the consequences, what the ramifications will be taking that step. For instance, if I take that new job, have you considered how it will affect your family? My service in the local church, how will it affect my spiritual life and my ability to witness? Is joining that sports team going to be good for my family spiritually? How will it impact my family? Will it lead to something else? Am I taking on too many ministries in the local church? It could burn you out. Am I working too many hours at my job? How will this affect my family? How is this affecting my heart? So if we are not careful about where we are headed spiritually, where our feet take us, we could end up hurting not only ourselves, but people around us or other believers. So store up God's word in your heart. Get his word into your heart. I love how the psalmist says in Psalm 119, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. So in closing, let me leave you with this thought. Think about how diligent we are to guard and protect our homes. You know, we put locks on them, sometimes more than one. We put security lights up at times. We make sure the windows are locked. We may store important documents in a secure vault. Why do we go to such great lengths? Because we don't want anything to get inside. We don't want anything to get inside our home that could harm us. So as Christians, we should exercise the same due diligence about guarding our hearts. Because the mind, the eyes, what we think about, what we watch, what we look at, and what we listen to all affect our heart. We must realize that anything that we let in gets into our heart, and it will have a great impact on how we live for Jesus. When Christ reigns in our hearts, our feet will always walk in his ways. Is Christ reigning in your heart today? May the Lord give us each day just the desire to embrace his word. Commit your life to his word. Follow him with all your heart. Because guarding your heart, I can't say enough how critical it is to experiencing all that God desires for your life as you walk in faith and obedience to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love for us. We thank you for your word. Lord, help us to keep storing up on God's word. Lord, help us to get your word into our hearts more and more every day. Thank you, Lord, for church where we can come and hear a sermon. Thank you, God, for Bible studies where we can meet with others and read and study your word. Thank you for devotionals. Lord, we live in a day and age where so much is available to us when it comes to reading and studying your word. And God, we just thank you today, God, just for reminding us just of how important our hearts are to you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, when we have neglected to guard our hearts. Lord, we confess that in the world full of distractions, God, we have made it not about you, but more about this world. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we just want to renew our hearts to you this morning. We want to yield our hearts to you, God, because you know the right way. You are the right way. You are the only right way. And so we yield and humble our hearts to you this morning. We surrender to you. And God, thank you that in worship we are reminded why there is not, what more can we give you but then our hearts and our lives today for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.